It's on now? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to call the March 25th, 2025 meeting of the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board to order. Lori, would you please call the roll?
Dr. Colome?
Here.
Mr. Cook?
Here.
Mr. Cox? Mr. Saperstein? And Chair Dressler?
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right. The first item of business is the election of the chair and vice chair for 2025. Welcome any potential nominations.
Well, I'd like to nominate Chair Dressler to continue in this role. He is an effective runner of these meetings. He's handled all of the interim variance requests, which has taken a burden off of any of the other members on this committee, and has extensive experience here with the Santa Barbara County APCD. So I would move reappointment of Chair Dressler.
I would second that motion and everything you just said.
I'm willing to serve also.
How do I know? Oh, there it is. I'm willing to serve, but I also want to make sure that everybody knows that if you are at all interested in being chair, if not this time, the next time or something like that, please step up and go into that role. This is not a burden for me or anything like that, and I'm comfortable doing it. So I'm willing to do that. That being said, do I have any, do I have to open public comment on this?
I would.
What?
I would.
Okay, I'll open public comment. Is there any public comment on the nomination for chair?
Chair Dressler, we did not receive any public comment on this.
I have a nomination on the table with a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nomination passes. Now we'll go with vice chair. Who is the current vice chair?
Dr. Colome.
Do I have a nomination for vice chair?
I'll nominate Dr. to stay in the vice chair position.
All right. I'll second that. Are you willing to serve?
As difficult as you make it to serve, yes.
I'll open public comment.
No public comments received on this item.
I'll close public comment. I have a motion and a second on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. All right. So now we will go on to the regular agenda. First item of business, the next item of business is the approval of the minutes for the November 6, 2024 meeting. I just want to remind everybody that you are allowed to vote on the minutes, whether you were here or not. Is there any discussion regarding the minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Oh, I was going to say I have no comments. So I'll make a motion to accept the minutes from the last meeting.
And I wasn't there. I was recovering from surgery, but I did read the minutes, so I will second it.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Is there any public comment?
Chair Dresser, we did not receive any public comment on this item.
Okay, I have a motion and a second on the floor with no public comment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Next item is announcements and staff reports. Are there any announcements or reports from the staff?
Good morning, Chair Dressler and members of the Hearing Board. The district staff does have some exciting updates for the Hearing Board. The first item is our permitted facilities map. We've revamped it. It's available here online. You can also scan the QR code to see the permitted facilities map. It was presented to the Board of Supervisors during the January meeting, and you might find this tool helpful when preparing for upcoming hearings. The next item that we have is the announcement of our new APCD Santa Maria office. It's located at 1101 West McCoy. In addition to being the new district offices, it will serve as the North County Hearing Board location once the equipment installation is complete. The open house and ribbon cutting ceremony are still in the works, and you all will be invited, so stay tuned for that invitation. And that is all of the staff updates. Thank you very much.
Is the map accessible on the APCD website?
Yes, that is okay. Correct. It is available on our APCD website. You can see permitted facilities. You can go and look at annual reports, NOVs, inspection reports. It's very helpful tool to see what's going on. There's also a presentation if you go to the January Board of Supervisors meeting, there's a presentation that's available for your review.
Thank you, Amy. The next item is public comment. I want to, at this time, open the public comment period for any item that's under the purview of this hearing board, but is not on the agenda today.
Chair Dresser, we did not receive any public comments for items not on the agenda.
All right, then I will close public comment. The next item is our public hearings for today. There's one case today. Lori, would you please read this item into the record?
Public hearing item F1, case number 202504R, regular variance. To consider a regular variance from District Rule 206, permit to operate 16120, conditions 2D4911A for thermal oxidizer APC device ID 109886, table 3 ACM casting tray and rinse tank emissions, and table 4. The variance petition was submitted on January 29th, 2025. For relief from the best available control technology, reactive organic compounds, destructive efficiency requirements, outlet flow rate, and source test requirements for the thermal oxidizer until compliance can be achieved. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at the facility in Goleta, California.
Thank you, Lori. First, I will administer the oath to all witnesses that are going to be providing testimony. If you are going to be providing testimony today, please stand and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I would like each participant that has been sworn in to please state your name and affiliation and then affirm the oath. And we'll just start with Amy.
Amy Long with the district, and I do.
Caitlin McNally with the district, and I do.
Matt Dunn with GeoSyntech, I do.
John Paolo Quinto with Mann and Hummel, I do.
Aaron Roth with Mann and Hummel, I do.
Thank you.
Chair Dresser, we also have one member on Zoom taking the oath. Go ahead, Charlie.
This is Charlotte Mountain with the district, and I do.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to ask the petitioner from Mann and Hummel, Water Fluid Solutions, Inc., doing business as MNUS, to make their case. During your report, in order for us to grant this variance petition today, we are going to have to make specific findings that are outlined by state law. And I would hope that during your report that the information that you provide in the report will be organized in a way that addresses all of these findings that have to be made so that the we, the board, will be able to hear the evidence that we need to hear in order to make the findings. If you would like, I could go down all those findings, but I'm assuming that you've come here prepared, and I don't need to do that. So why don't I just turn the meeting over to you guys and have you give your presentation.
Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Aaron Roth. I'm the plant manager at MNUS Goleta. This is John Palacinto, our HSE specialist. As we begin, I would like to start with a brief overview of who we are and what we do. So we have 139 employees. Hold on just a second. There we go. So we have 139 employees at our sites that that are involved in the manufacturing of water and process filtration. Globally, we are a leading supplier of water filtration with the focus on sustainable solutions for water pollution, water reuse, decentralized wastewater treatment, and industrial wastewater solutions. Some of the manufactured products at MNUS include Tricep, Spirecep RO. We also manufacture nanofiltration, ultrafiltration membrane as well. The applications include water, wastewater, food and beverage processing, and pharmaceuticals. So we have three types of casting processes at our facility. The main casting process that is the subject of this hearing is advanced composite membrane, also known as ACM, which I'll refer to here going forward. To run ACM, we utilize a thermal oxidizer, device ID 109886, to control emissions captured from the ACM coating machine. The 1 million BTU per hour thermal oxidizer is mandated to undergo source testing annually. So why we're here is to provide us more time to repair or replace the thermal oxidizer, and it will allow us to continue operations as we work towards compliance. So, as noted, there are six findings required to make for the variance. Number one, unable to comply with district rule, non-compliance due to conditions beyond applicant's control, such takings without corresponding benefit in reducing pollution. Applicant is considered curtailing operations, reducing emissions to the maximum extent feasible, and monitoring and reporting emissions. We believe that we satisfy these six key findings. With valid justification for the variance, excessive burden due to compliance, no significant impact to public health or the environment, reasonable attempts to comply, alternative measures to reduce emissions, and a clear schedule for compliance with corrective actions and deadlines. These findings ensure that the variance is granted responsibly, balancing environmental and operational needs. So two implicit findings in support of the variance. I will go into detail on these a little bit later in the presentation. But first is the operation under variance is not a public nuisance. And second is other requirements to guarantee expeditious compliance with emission standards or increments of progress. So finding one. The following parts of Rule 206 that we are unable to comply with are listed above Rule 206, Condition 1, Condition 2, D4, Table 3, Table 4, Condition 9, and Condition 11A. The District Rule 206, Condition Approval of Authority to Construct or Permit to Operate. Condition 1 is emissions limitations. The mass emissions from the equipment permitted shall not exceed the values listed in Table 1 and Table 2 of Permit to Operate 16120. Condition 2, D4, operational restrictions removal efficiency. The ROC removal efficiency across the thermal oxidizer shall be greater than 98%, or outlet ROC concentration shall be less than 10 ppmv, whichever is attainable. Table 3 is BACT requirements. Table 4, source test requirements. Condition 9, best available control technology. Apply emission control technology and plant design measure that represent BACT to the operation of equipment and facilities. And then condition 11A, source testing shall be performed on an annual schedule, as our anniversary is April. So the actions to comply for finding one is we have conducted a thorough inspection of the ACM room ducts, which is what provides the emissions out of the building and into the thermal oxidizer. We have installed a dampener to control inlet and outlet under the flow requirements. We have obtained quotes for repairing and replacing the oxidizer. We have three external suppliers that we have so far engaged with. Three of them have now taken on-site visits, as this is a large and custom piece of equipment. This is not something that you can get at Home Depot and install the next day. The scheduled visits have been through January and February, and we have hired an environmental consultant to help us navigate this process to return to compliance as soon as we can. If we decide to replace the current oxidizer, based on all the information available to us, an application will be submitted to the APCD. We anticipate this initial series of quotes to be submitted to us by the second or third week of March, and the application would then be the week after once we make that decision. Obviously, it depends on the engagement of the suppliers, but they understand the urgency of this. So, finding two, our permit to operate 16120 requires an annual source testing of the thermal oxidizer. The source tests, as provided to APC, did fail. As a result of this, a third-party vendor was contacted to determine the condition of the thermal oxidizer. On the 10th of December, we performed an exterior visual inspection. Nothing out of the ordinary was noticed. However, the guts, you could say, of the thermal oxidizer are inside and not easily accessible or viewable. So we had to schedule a follow-on inspection where there was further disassembly and the ability to actually look inside to where the combustion is happening. During that time of inspection, there was noticed deterioration of the heat exchanger pipes. Again, this is not confirmed or denied to be the cause of the failed source test, but it was just an observation. This oxidizer is 30 years old, roughly, and natural degradation is expected due to environment and continual function. And because the pipes were, again, the combustion happens on the inside, the state of the oxidizers are not easily known until that actual inspection of the interior. So, furthermore, the facility is located in an industrial location and a nuisance is not likely to occur. As previously mentioned, we do make many different products through three different distinct casting lines prescribed and authorized within our permit. The ACM process is integral to our production, and without it, the operations would shut down, as this is a key supplier for both our customers and then our internal production as well. It is a necessary step in roughly 80% of what we manufacture. The ACM process emissions themselves are controlled by the oxidizer as prescribed in the permit. The excess emissions are expected to be less than the taking of this lawful business, so we don't expect any significant impact to the surrounding neighborhood. As a part of this, as previously mentioned, external supplier quotes to either repair or replace will be taken. And also, as previously mentioned, we've had three quotes on site through January 13, 14, February 6, and February 27. Matt has been helping us through this process as we've consulted an external expert. Requiring immediate compliance under these circumstances, it would amount to an arbitrary and unreasonable taking of property. The thermal oxidizer to control the emissions is a custom, complex, specialized machine. if MNUS was to shut down or reduce the hours of operation, the assets would depreciate significantly. We would also be forced to incur financial penalties or fees under the rule. The expectation is that the issue is with the oxidizer's heat exchanger, and as stated before, we are in the process of either repairing or replacing it, taking whatever we deem to be the most appropriate course of action to return to compliance in the best way possible. Immediate compliance would require significant operation reduction, putting the company under considerable financial pressure, and would lead to the loss of business contracts, job cuts, and potential closure of the facility. Manhummel contributes to the economy with our 139 employees and provides those jobs that would be jeopardized if immediate compliance was to occur. So if we were required to immediately comply, there would be a slight decrease from actual emissions and ROC emissions from the source. Condition 2D4 mandates a 98% reduction. Our estimate right now, we have up here 97%. Our current estimate is 91% control efficiency. If we operate with that emission of 91%, we would attempt to adjust our production so we do not exceed permit limits prescribed in Table 1 and Table 2 of the current facility permit. Upgrade obviously will require time and resources for the permitting, for the installation, and for the integration into our system. The immediate closure of casting operations would, as stated before, be a very large financial burden. And the ACM line in particular is critical to, again, over 80% of what we produce. So the value of all internal production costs plus our fixed costs would be affected. We estimate this for a total of $2.8 million per month of financial impact to MNUS. MNUS's goal is to achieve full compliance and minimize emissions, but immediate compliance would impact air quality until the necessary control measures are in place. While there might be excess emissions from the thermal oxidizer itself, the facility-wide emissions are still expected to be within permitted limits. In addition, the public nuisance is not expected, and the emissions from the thermal oxidizer are expected to be less than the hardship if compliance is required against the benefit to the public if pollution is curtailed by compliance. So for finding four, we have from the data that we've provided, we have considered alternate methods of compliance, including curtailing operations. And as stated multiple times, the ACM process is absolutely integral to our production, and there would be significant financial, operational, and business implications. So for reducing emissions to the maximum extent feasible, we would control our production schedules to optimize and to minimize any excess emissions that we may have. This includes changing an order schedule, potentially delaying long-term orders, and or slowing down production to ensure that daily limits are not surpassed to the best of our ability. The increased emissions from the oxidizer would be balanced by decrease in emissions from the other three permitted processes, so the daily limits are not in exceedances as prescribed by Attachment B to the best of our ability. We will conduct periodic internal testing to validate control efficiency and ensure that is not degrading farther, and perform increased preventive measures and preventive maintenance within the ACM process and oxidizer. Schedules, timelines adjusted to, again, optimize and to the best of our ability and reduce emissions. Samples would be collected to measure pollutants. We would do periodic internal testing and validate that the flow rate is still within specification. We will also conduct operational checks, ensuring the equipment is working as intended, and we can identify potential issues to ensure that the oxidizer is operating properly and as to the best of our ability and compliance within our permit to operate. Manhummel will delay implementation of additional contracts until a long-term solution is implemented, such as a repair or replacement of the oxidizer. for finding six. Man Hummel will keep the district updated with the repairs and or replacements and the timing of those as we go through the process. We will maintain our thorough records as required during the variance period and send copies to the district so that they can be on file. To ensure that we are on track, we will also use a third party to gather emissions data during the variance period. Periodic internal testing refers to scheduled evaluations conducted to assess the performance and efficiency of the equipment. Flow rates, volatile samples will also be verified at a good cadence. And again, to ensure that we are working to the best of our ability to stay within the prescribed permitted limits. In addition, we will conduct more thorough monitoring, such as weekly record keeping of solvents and maintain a weekly calculation of emissions due to the reduced control efficiency of the oxidizer. ACM solvent emissions and other processes will be calculated using the methodologies in Attachment B, which is as shown on the screen here. We will monitor our other casting operations as well to ensure that the resultant emissions are reduced correspondingly by the increase from the ACM emissions. Our estimate is that the reduced control efficiency of the thermal oxidizer is increasing ACM emissions by approximately 1 to 2 pounds per day of ROC. So as mentioned before, the two implicit findings in support of a variance is number one, the variance operation under variance would not be a nuisance. We are located within a designated industrial zone, an area where emissions and operational activities are common, standard, and expected. The emissions resulting from the granting of the variance are not anticipated to exceed the facility's pre-established permit limits as outlined by the regulations that we are in compliance with. Furthermore, the variance does allow for adjustments in operational parameters without posing a significant risk to public health, safety, or welfare. Based on the analysis of current operational data, the variance will not create an undue burden on the surrounding community or environment, nor do we expect it to result in nuisances such as excessive noise, odor, or harmful pollutants. In fact, our facility is committed to maintaining compliance with all applicable standards and implementing the best practices to mitigate any potential negative impacts that continuing operation may have. The decision to operate under the granted variance is based on the understanding that adjustments will remain within the acceptable thresholds, ensuring that operation does not result in any new or exacerbated nuisances or nuisance conditions. As such, the variance will not alter the facility's ability to meet its environmental responsibilities, nor will it lead to any harmful or disruptive impacts in the neighboring areas. For second, other requirements to guarantee expeditious compliance, we are actively collaborating with multiple vendors, again, as stated before, as a very specialized piece of equipment. It is a longer process to procure and to install, but we have started working on that in the present. The process involves evaluating various techniques, various technologies, and strategies for removing the VOCs, and understanding what we can do to implement this in the shortest possible time frame, while also ensuring cost effectiveness. As a part of this, we're conducting cost-benefit analysis, feasibility studies, technical evaluations to ensure that what we would be implementing would work per the requirements. As a part of this, we have established a timeline with clear targets for returning to compliance, including specific increments of progress that will be closely monitored and reported. Again, this does include assessments of progress against benchmarks and adjustments to the approach can and will be made depending on the results of those, again, to ensure the quickest possible return to conformance. And here at Man Hummel, we are committed to keeping all regulatory agencies informed about the progress and any potential changes that may come up. So for the importance of variance coverage, again, on November 6th, the source test results failed to meet the district standards. To get back to compliance with permit to operate 16120, we propose to repair or to replace the thermal oxidizer. We will require time for the approval of the permit application. to verify compliance with district rules and regulations and to complete installation and integration of the unit. It will also take time for the approval of purchase order with our procurement team because of the expected cost. This would be a very significant capital expenditure that we would be undertaking to get back into compliance. Anticipated completion would be roughly 6 to 7 months. And again, as we go forward, that we will work as hard as we can to improve that timeline. So as far as timing goes, to get into a bit more detail, we will require additional time for the approval of the permit application by the district. Initial review is roughly 30 days. Any comments on the review would require an additional 30 days. So our estimate is that will be roughly 2 to 3 months for the approval of the permit application. Once that is authorized, we anticipate 4 to 5 months or so to fully complete the project. And again, working with our suppliers to ensure that that is done as expeditiously as possible. So for corrective measures that we've taken, first is applied for the first interim variance, which was granted, and the regular variance, which is what we are going over today. Performing a diagnostic inspection of the oxidizer so we could understand what the source of the issues is. Hiring an environmental consulting firm, as Matt and his team are experts in this field. We've also conducted further testing, such as a SUMMA canister test, and we have, as mentioned before, obtained quotes for both replacing and repairing the thermal oxidizer. And Matt will be helping to ensure that whichever path we go down will meet the requirements of BACT. So to close, we believe that given the specific circumstances, a variance would allow us to continue operations while implementing the necessary corrective measures to achieve full compliance. So today we are respectfully requesting the opportunity to continue operating the thermal oxidizer under the terms of the interim variance and to postpone future source testing. We are prepared to work closely with the district to ensure compliance as quickly as possible. As we've been with the community for many years, and we are taking the measures to the best of our ability to ensure that our actions have not had any significant impacts to the neighborhoods or environment. And as we close with, at our site is safety first and quality always. So thank you, board, for your time. I'll open to any questions.
I'll bring this back to the board and ask board members if they have any questions of the applicant.
Yeah, I have some questions. So on your slide 16, you talked about limiting emissions within the permit limitations. So I was just curious how you were going to be doing that and monitoring that.
This one? This slide?
Yes.
Okay, and your question is for which?
On 1B.
1B. So this is based on our calculations of what we have. So even with the increase, particularly of the ACM of emissions, we would still expect to be below the site's limitations. If there is any risk to that, we would alter production schedules to make sure that we are under. That we have, as stated before, we have 3 casting lines. ACMs is one of the casting lines that it goes through the thermal oxidizer, which is affected.
Okay, so that one would be still in violation of its specific requirements, but the overall site would be within
that is our expectation.
Okay.
And I had a number of questions. I want to thank you, first of all, for a very clear presentation of findings. This was extremely helpful. What I had before me was the petition, and there are still some questions that were raised in my mind in that. First of all, a 30-year-old thermal oxidizer that 1 million BTUs per hour, that's a heavy workload, and that type of equipment does not last forever. One thing that was not clear to me, the thermal oxidizer will deteriorate over time. You failed the most recent test, but I couldn't really see a history of tests prior to that. Did you detect any increase in emissions previously and or a creeping flow rate?
We did not see that. We've met the requirements of less than 10 ppmv for at least since 2020. And to the best of my knowledge, we have not failed the source test before.
I didn't see any evidence of prior source testing and any pattern of deterioration. I mean, there wasn't anything here that
we did not. We did not notice any pattern of deterioration prior to this year.
And how would the flow rate have creeped up from 10 to 20 over between your last test and the current one? What operationally would have changed that increased the flow rate into the thermal oxidizer?
So we did not make any operational changes other than the one that we specified by particularly implementing a dampener. Our processes are very controlled in that their different conditions impact from a product standpoint. Things like speed, temperature, which are inputs into the output and the emissions, changing any of those is going to change the product itself. So we have to be really tight on there. So any changes to that are typically have to go through a fairly strict change management process. But we have not... Again, I've been with the company for a little over a year. To the best of my knowledge, we haven't made any processing changes. The installation of a dampener is just to better control and to give us another form of control to make sure.
In your ducting that goes to the system, do you have like a pitot tube or anything like that to regularly take exhaust flow measurements?
So we do have just a couple of cavities that we can put in a measurement device into.
So I was also looking at the district report that brought up a couple notices of violation for delayed source testing on this same unit over the past, I think it first mentioned 2022 and then 2023, and then this failed one in 2024. I view a dampener installation as, relatively easy and a pretty straightforward fix for that, but it was interesting that the exhaust rate was high repeatedly. And if I think about the thermal oxidation process, in the permit it calls out also a residence time, right? If you're not giving that material enough time in the combustion chamber, you might have less efficiency, and that would be what kind of drives that increase in outlet emissions.
So from what we've, part of our inspection determined that the residence time and the temperature of the oxidizer are as expected. So yes, interesting.
And again, this was just a question that was begged to me when I was reading through this. Thermal oxidizers typically require a maintenance schedule. I mean, they're inclined to sooting up, which also affects efficiency. What I didn't see any evidence of what you do regularly for maintenance of your oxidizer.
So that's something that we are making more robust. That is an opportunity for improvement on our end as well. And going forward, that will be implemented. Standard PMs, we contract a lot of our standard PMs to external suppliers, and they will perform. It'll be quarterly or yearly, depending on the prescription that they have.
Further questions?
So I think maybe probably my last question is just on some detail for the increments of process or of progress. So, you say you have quotes for both the repair and replace options in hand, but I didn't kind of see a timeline for when that type of decision would be made.
I think that's the test that they were mentioning. Yeah. Yeah. They mentioned to us that it would be a drill. That was a nice and short one. Sorry, repeat your question.
It was just some detail on the increments of progress and kind of the decision on repair or replace of the oxidizer.
Sure. So again, that's going to depend on a few things. First is obviously compliance. And that's one of the reasons why we have retained Matt and his services is whatever the worst case scenario in my mind would be, we authorize either a replacement or repair and it doesn't meet BACT. So we've retained him. That analysis will need to be done. Once we have that, then we'll just make the decision that we deem best. Again, a variety of factors for approvals and everything.
Hello? Yeah, my firm is a multiple service firm, so we're actually doing construction management also. We're doing
Matt, construction. It's still muted.
Yeah, you want the green light on the mic, I think, to be on.
There you go.
My firm is a multi-services professional services company, and we're actually, besides consultant, being an air pollution control practitioner, other parts of my office in the county do construction management. We're actually doing construction management at Tahiguas right now. So we're ready when the unit does come, we're ready to help them install it.
So I didn't fully answer your question. So timeline, again, it's going to depend on the full sourcing of all the quotes. Once we have that, we expect roughly a week or two. Again, something of this magnitude will require significant corporate approval.
Yeah, I work in the corporate world now. I'm not surprised and I work in capital project execution. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not surprised.
Just another question. So there was some redaction of some of the VOCs, ROCs that were emitted from your process, and I'm assuming that was because of trade secrets. The only thing I'd like to confirm is that we're not looking at hazardous organic compounds.
I do not believe so, no.
Currently, the ROCs is not a hazardous air pollutant from the ACM process.
Further questions from members of the board? I think all of my questions were answered in the other questions that were asked. I'd just like to hear from the district, do you support this variance?
Good morning, Chair Dessler, members of the board. District staff does support the variance request based off of the petition and the presentation today.
And I have another question of the district. Are you pretty much convinced that even though the failure that is being experienced now and will be experienced during the length of this variance is a failure of the efficiency of the control device, that the total processing, the total facility emissions will probably remain under the permitted limits?
We have district engineer Charlotte Mountain on the line. I would like for her to be able to address the emissions question for you.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. Based on the source test report that was submitted, I performed some emission calculations that verified the way that the thermal oxidizer was operating during that source test. The total emissions for the facility are below the limits in the permit. As was explained earlier, the control efficiency is not being met, but the total emissions are below the facility permitted emission limit.
Thank you. All right. Well, then I will bring this back to the board and we can go down the findings and make sure that we can make all the findings. From my perspective, and I'd like any input from the board if they think I've missed the mark on this, I do believe that the testimony we heard is consistent with finding one in that the facility is in violation of the district permit requirements. And that the noncompliance is due to, is beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner at this time because they were unaware of any problems with the equipment until the source, until the failed source test, and they have still not completely determined the source of the problem. And in before, in order for them to fix the problem, they need to determine the source of the air pollution. The closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit in reducing air pollution. That's one of the reasons why I clarified that last question. Apparently, there is no mass emission excess here. It has to do with the efficiency requirements in the permit for the control equipment. So I believe that that finding can be made. They've considered curtailing operations and gave adequate and exhaustive testimony about what that would involve. And they've actually agreed that they will look at other processes to make sure that their emissions stay within the facility limits. And they've also provided a testimony that they will reduce the maximum extent to the maximum extent feasible other emission sources within the facility during this process. They also gave testimony that during the whole process that they will quantify and monitor any excess emissions and report them to the district. Also, it is unlikely, considering their location and the nature of these emissions and the fact that there is no estimated excess emissions facility-wide, that this facility would cause a public nuisance that it hasn't already caused, and the district has not reported that there's been any nuisance issue from this facility. Do I have any other input with regard to these findings from the board members?
No, I agree that the findings can be made through the testimony and the sequence of questioning.
All right.
I do too, and I concur with your summary.
All right. So I will bring this to the board for a motion.
Chair Dressler?
Yes.
We do have to open up.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I will open public comment on this.
Chair Dressler, we did not receive any public comment for this item.
I will close public comment. Now, I will bring this back to the board, and I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to grant the variance.
Could you amend that motion to that we have made all the applicable findings and grant the variance?
Yes, I make a motion that we have found all applicable findings and determined to grant the variance.
And I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. You have your variance.
Thank you, board.
Thank you.
All right. The next item before us today is the administrative agenda. Does any hearing board member wish to pull any item off the administrative agenda for discussion? I will open public comment on the administrative agenda.
We receive no public comment on the administrative agenda.
Can I get a motion to approve the administrative agenda in one vote?
So moved.
A second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Administrative agenda is adopted. All right. This brings our meeting to a close. Thank you all very much. The meeting's going to now be adjourned until May 7th, 2025 at 9:30 a.m. And it may be subject to cancellation if there are no issues to be heard at that time. Thank you.
Thank you.